Good morning. It's great to be here. What a time of worship. Woo! I enjoyed that. Did you? Yeah, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I'm telling you, that was wonderful. It's wonderful to listen to these artists, and you can see from their faces and the way they're singing, they're certainly not doing to be theatrical, but they're doing to worship the Lord, and I thought that was just absolutely awesome. And so thank you for inviting me. I can go home now. I've had a wonderful time. Oh, you want me to speak? Okay, I will. But it certainly was a wonderful time. Well, we're in Luke. Are you enjoying Luke? Dr. Luke. Wow, what a guy, eh? I'm enjoying Dr. Luke. He's not my mentality. I'm more of a Peter, and I'm certainly not a Luke. But I enjoy his writings, and I've had a little bit of a health issue recently, so I've had nothing to do for a month. I couldn't touch a shovel. I couldn't touch a wheelbarrow. I couldn't cut the grass. I couldn't go biking. So all I did was read, and I read over Luke over and over and again, and I was blessed. I mean, really blessed. So this morning we're going to be looking at Luke. And we're going to get this thing going. Where's my techie? It should be going. Why isn't it going? Let's go play. There we go. Now we're playing. Okay, park crash. And here we are in Luke chapter 9. So let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 9. And it's certainly event-packed chapter. There's five different subjects in it, and we're going to look at each of them for 2 minutes, and then we're going to touch on one of them, because if we try to bite off too much. But Luke chapter 9 is very interesting. It's the Jesus' second ministry in Galilee. And you know, I want you this morning to meet the real Jesus. We're going to meet the real Jesus. There's a lot of so-called Jesuses out there, but in Luke's gospel, we're going to meet the real deal, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he's all through Luke's gospel, and in Luke chapter 9, we're going to find some real beautiful things about it. So in Luke chapter 9, which we're going to be looking at today, the first thing we'll talk about a little bit later on is the Transfiguration. We would like to talk on that, but we're just going to give one thought on that as time goes on. And then after the configuration, it's the healing of a boy with an evil spirit. So we don't have time in 30 minutes to go over all these, but this afternoon when after you have your nappy nap or your siesta or whatever you call it, get up and read it and say, Lord, speak to me. And if you're sincere and you really want to be spoken to, he will speak to you. Because these are action-packed events that are exciting things. And then after that, we could go into who will be the greatest in Luke chapter 9, 46 to 50. And there we have the real disciples, just like we are. We're sinners saved by grace. And here we have these people who are so close to Jesus, and yet they're fighting, they're arguing, they're discussing who's going to be the greatest. And I kind of like that, because sometimes when I do things I shouldn't do, I say, Lord, I don't want to do that. Please excuse me, Lord. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to do that. And yet I come back to this teaching in here, and these were people who were with Jesus 24/7. But that's not an excuse. But isn't it wonderful that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then the next one we're going to find out about is the Samaritan opposition. And we're going to take one truth out of each of these, and then we're going to spend the last 20 minutes on the last one, the cost of following Jesus. That's what we're going to spend most of our time on, the cost of following Jesus. So the first one was exactly that. It was the transfiguration. And in this whole story of the transfiguration, the thing that I want you to take home with you is what it says. This is my chosen son, listen to him. That's what God said from heaven. He said, this is my chosen son, listen to him. And that's what I want you to do this morning. I don't want you to listen to me ranting and raving up here. But I want you to listen to what the word of God says and what the Holy Spirit. So as we find in this first part of chapter 9, this is my beloved son. This is my chosen son. Listen to him. Please listen to Jesus this morning. And if there's something tugging at your heart, something just gets you, you know, there's just something about what Ron said from the Bible. Let's listen to what God has for us. Then the second parable, and Jesus gave the boy back to his father. And here we have the healing of this boy. And in this story, the thing that I grab from this story for each of us this morning, the only thing that is, I believe, help my unbelief. And that's what I want you to pray. Lord, help me. Help my unbelief. Because we might be saying things that sort of, you know, just, you know, it's true, but, you know, Lord, it's kind of hard. Help, help, I believe, help my unbelief. Then, in this whole thing, how do you hope in the midst of hopelessness? I spent a month now listening to the news, which I don't usually do. I spent a month reading news, which I don't usually do, but man, we're in deep troubles in this world, not just in Hong Kong, all over the world. So I would ask you to pray this morning, how do we hope in our midst of hopelessness? And that is, we have to hope in Jesus. And that's the answer. An argument arose among the disciples about which of them would be the greatest. And that was the next one. And what did I get from them? From that, it says in Luke chapter 9, 44, when I am the least among all, I am the great. I am great in God's sight. From this whole idea of the arguing of the disciples and can you imagine they're arguing? Disciples, people have been with Jesus. But from that thing, grab this. When I am least among all, I am great in God's sight. So important. Then also in our thing, we're going to find out that he set his face to Jerusalem. Here we find here in chapter 9, verse 52. Let's turn to Luke 9, 52. And it says here, because it's very important for us to grab something from this teaching. And it says here in the Word of God in verse 52, it says, he sent messengers ahead to a Samaritan village to prepare for his arrival. But the people of the village did not welcome Jesus because he was on his way to Jerusalem. But he set his face to Jerusalem. He had a mission. He had a mission to do. And he had something he was called of his father to do. He was on a mission. And we too, we're going to find from the message today that we have a mission. We're on a mission. We have to set our face and we have to go for that project. You're going to have this daily vacation Bible school, and you're going to have a sort of daily vacation Bible school. You're going to have these lessons. I think it's wonderful. We got to go for it. So important, so important. How do we make difficult decisions? Well, the reason what Jesus did, he set his face. He knew he was going to get into trouble. He knew that there was going to be problems. He knew that the Samaritans did not like the Jewish people. He knew that there could be problems, and yet he set his face and he made the decision. How do we make decisions, difficult choices, and stick to them? There are many factors involved in difficult choices, but let's look at a very important part to start. Let's look at Jesus' instructions in Luke chapter 9, 51 to 62, and learn a very important consideration in making decisions. That is that we make a decision, we know it's from God, and whatever comes, torments, problems, difficulties, we've got to move towards that project that God has called to do. But we've got to make sure that it's from the Lord and it's not from us. This is what he had to do. He was going to Jerusalem. So what he had to do, he had to go by into Jerusalem, Jesus. And it was a very, very difficult, very dangerous. He was on a journey through a dangerous land. We are on a journey. We're going to find out in a few minutes that this world isn't our home. And we're on a journey. And it's a difficult journey. He didn't know if people would be hospitable. He didn't know if they were going to be hostile. He knew that discomfort. He knew that there was suffering ahead. But Jesus went. What an inspiration for us. That we've got to do it. We've got to go for it. We can't be wishy-washy about it. And then in this last story, again, it was very interesting. When James and John saw this, they said to Jesus, Lord, should we call down fire from heaven to burn them up? Because, see, the Samaritans didn't want Jesus to go through their land. The Samaritans didn't want Jesus to be in Samaria. And the disciples says, but Jesus turned and rebuked them. So they went on to another village. Jesus' ministry was to seek and to save the lost, not seek and destroy. It's easy to let our self-righteous spirit make us do things we don't want to do. But the disciples, they just wanted to zap them with a laser beam. Jesus says, no, just leave them alone. And what does he do? He went to another village. And that makes me think of our projects. September's coming up. What are you going to do for Jesus in September? You're going to teach Sunday school? You're going to help in a men's group? You're going to help in a women's group? You're going to help in Awana? What are you going to do for Jesus September, October, November, December? We've got to say, Lord, use me, usa me. I say it every morning when my feet hit the ground. I say, usa me, use me, Lord. And we've got to set our eyes towards that goal and do it for the Lord. We are going to read now. We're going to listen to it, and we're going to follow along in the Bibles. The cost of following Jesus, okay? You want to follow along in the Bible. It's verse 57. See if it works.
They said, walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, walk to the temple, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one puts his hand to the plow and looks back. It is fit for service in the kingdom of God.
May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of Scripture. We've read it. We've seen it. Now let's see what God has for us in this chapter. Dare to be a disciple. I encourage each of you to be not just a Christian, but to be a disciple. To commit of serving Jesus. It is not easy. And we're going to see it's a rough road at times. But there's so many fringe benefits. There's so many perks. I've got a Visa card here, and I got a lot of perks. I was going to go to Hong Kong. I had to cancel my trip. But because of the visa, there's a perk on my visa that I get my money back that I paid for my airfare. Whoa! But here, when you're a disciple of Jesus, there's way more perks. Way more perks. Yes? We have to Comforts? No. Convenience? No. Choices? Yes. We have to choose to follow Jesus. So let's look at the passage. Let's see what we've got here. We've got to be followers of Jesus. That is the important thing. It's following Jesus. We've got to steadfast set his face. Jesus set his face and he did the mission. He was determined. He fixed his face towards it and he went there. But there's a cost. There's a cost. And I know most of you here are Christians. That's great. Praise God. That is wonderful. You're going to say, well, I'm speaking to the choir. No. To be a disciple of Jesus, to be a follower of Jesus, and to do exactly what he wants us to do is not hard. I find it hard. And if I find it hard, and I have the time, thanks to your sacrificial giving and praying, I have the time to spend with Jesus, like the disciples did. But they argued. And I guess sometimes I do too. So we have to pray for one another, and we have to work together for one another. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. You got that? Look in your Bibles there. Verse 57. This man sounded very sincere. This man sounded that he wanted to do business. Probably he had been struck by something that Jesus had done. Maybe it was a miracle. Or maybe something Jesus said, he was, yeah, that guy, he's right on. I want to follow him. I will follow you wherever you go. Have we said that? I've said that sometimes. And sometimes it's led me in places that hasn't always been comfortable. Sometimes it's led in places that have been very difficult. And sometimes I haven't done it. And I've got into trouble because it didn't follow Jesus where he told me to go. So as we work together as a community here at Parkcrest, as we work as a family together, as we help one another, as we pray for one another, as we struggle together, then we can really be disciples of Jesus. We can be real followers of Jesus. You know, but it's interesting what he said. Look at that verse there, verse 57. And Jesus replied, verse 58 now, foxes have dens to live in, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head. What was Jesus saying here? He was painting a pretty blunt picture. He was painting a portrait that wasn't very pleasant. You think he would have said, hey, you want to follow me wherever I go? Great. You know, heaven's got streets of gold, and if you follow me, you'll be part of my kingdom but no. Why does he paint such a poor picture? Why doesn't he talk about positive things where he turns around, and we're going to see a little bit more of this as we go along, saying that foxes have holes and birds have the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere. I believe that the man was being warned by Jesus that it ain't an easy road. It's not an easy road to follow Jesus. I think Jesus was being honest. I think Jesus was being transparent. Jesus was being clear and clear. Because Jesus didn't say that if you follow me, you'll stay in a 5-star hotel. He doesn't say if you follow the Son of God that you're going to eat 3 meals every day and you're going to have the best clothes. Jesus wanted the man to know that Jesus was an alien in the world. And if you follow Jesus, it isn't going to be easy. But together we can do it. I'm part of a community since 1953. And that community has been taking care of me for 50, 60, a lot of years. And that's why we have the local assembly. That's why it says in Hebrews, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And it's great that you're here. And it's great that when a person falls down, you can go and pick that person. Come on, up, come on, let me help you up. Because we can do it together. I am convinced we can do it together. But we have to follow Jesus. Jesus is the one that we are to follow. Philippians 3:20 says, "But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior." Jesus is saying here that we're just nomads. We're here for 50, 60, 70, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, and then that's it. No, it isn't it. That's the beginning. As many of you heard, Mr. Atchison went home to be with the Lord, 100 years old and 4 months. He was a faithful servant of God. He has been praying for me probably for 63 years at least. He has been communicating with me for 63 years. See, he's part of that group I'm telling you about, that you are a group within your group that you can help one another. But we find here that this world isn't. We are pilgrims. You know, and that brings me to the second little psalm that I won't sing it to you because you'd go out. But let me see if this sounds okay here now. Listen to the words. If you don't like the music, that's okay. But look at the words.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are...
Stop tapping your feet there. I see some of you are tapping your feet. Is this true for you? We're to follow Jesus. I hope that is your case. But the important thing in this is not an easy road, but it's Jesus. Jesus will help you go through this time on earth, this pilgrimage, because our home is a better place. Our home is in heaven. And yet, in the meantime, God has given us a job to do. God has given a mission to do. God has called you here at Parkcrest to be a lighthouse in this barrio, we say, in this neighborhood. God has called you to be a witness in your family. God has called you to be a witness in your neighborhood. God has called you to be a witness in the supermarket where you shop. And we've got to come to the realization as sojourners, we are like nomads. Following Jesus would be like following an Old Testament prophet. They were always on the go. To follow Jesus means you must leave some things and go to other places. And it sometimes you have to leave your comfort zone. Nobody wants to leave their comfort zone. This week, for instance, I spent 5 hours with some Brazilians. No falo português, but I tried. They laughed. But anyway, I wasn't in my comfort zone because it was a different language and a little bit different mentality. And yet that 5 hours, my wife and I were sat, we had a beautiful dinner and talked together, and we're going to pick them up this week, God willing, and take them out for a day. So sometimes you have to leave your comfort zone. Now you're going to say, well, this camp's coming up, and it's a sort of a French type of a camp, you know. Je ne parle pas le français, but you can come and help. I don't know, maybe register. Maybe when the kids come in, you can take the name. Maybe when the parents come in, you can welcome their parent. I don't know what the program is. But you might have to leave your comfort zone and help for that week camp. I don't know. Sunday afternoon, maybe you can go and listen and sing and speak to and encourage old folks at the old folks' home. That's not a comfort zone. I mean, it's boring. Can you go up? Hi, how are you? And the person's there. That's not comfortable. But that's what God calls us to do. To leave our comfort zone, to get out of it, and to serve him. If we are called of God to follow him, we have to serve him. Yes. What? what areas of your life are you waiting to, what area of life are you waiting to give Jesus first place? Jesus wants all of us. Jesus wants the first place in our life. And that's what he wants. Jesus had his disciples follow him. He sent them out for weeks at a time. He sent them without any Visa card. They didn't have a credit line. They went without food, without clothing. They went without a plan B. And maybe that's what God called us to do. I think of some of our missionaries on the field today that have gone out by faith. My wife and I, we left in 1967 to go to somewhere where we didn't speak the language. We didn't know anybody. And we got there and the lady said hello to us. And I don't know if she was what language she was talking. And I said something to her in English. And she didn't understand what. And we spent 12 beautiful years there. But God calls us to do things like that. Maybe it's just people in your neighborhood. Those people that just don't speak English very clear. Those people who eat food that's kind of, you know, smelly to us. But we have to do it. We have to do it. What areas of life are you waiting to give Jesus first place? What are you saying to Jesus? Well, Jesus, listen, thank you. I feel called. I know I'm called. The Bible says we're to follow you. But until my kids grow up, sports, school, etc., then I will follow you. Not until my kids grow up. Now, maybe until I can get my life right. We never will get our life right. When Jesus calls us, we are to follow. Punto. That's point. How about this one? Until I make more money so I can be generous. If I win the lottery, Lord, I'll follow you and I'll give you half of it. Woo! I mean, these are things that happen in our lives and are true. But we are to follow him a pesar de, in spite of all these things. How about this one? Until I have more time. We never will have more time. How about this one? Until I learn more about the Bible. But Lord, I haven't gone to Regent College. I haven't gone to Trinity Western, Lord. I can't really witness. No, it's now. There's beautiful tracts in the back. There's pamphlets in the back. There's Bibles in the back. Anybody can give a Bible out. And God has called us to do that. Do we get the impression from this text that Jesus is not accepting excuses? We are to say, dear Lord, I want to follow you wholeheartedly. Even though it'll be difficult. Let's get the next one. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Yes? Jesus could have talked about mansions on the hills. He could have talked about the golden streets. Or how about this song that we used to sing when I was young? Hey, remember this song? Jesus could have talked about this to animate the person to follow him. Are we really satisfied with that? Jesus could have talked about the heavenly glories, but he didn't. Jesus wanted to be real and open and transparent. What Jesus says to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to... What a way to discourage. That's not good salesmanship. But Jesus was being honest, and I certainly appreciate that. But you know, first there is a leaving. And everyone who has left home or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit the life eternal, eternity, eternal. Matthew 19:29. What a promise. But we are to leave these things sometimes. I can remember when we got in the car to go for the first time out as missionaries, we drove 3,000 kilometers, and I can remember my mother-in-law crying her eyes out. I can remember my wife crying from here to Hope because we were leaving home, we were leaving our assembly, we were leaving our family. And I'm not patting myself on the back because the fringe benefits have been so great. But here it is. First, there is a leaving. Then there is a receiving. First, there's a leaving. Yeah. First, there is sacrifice. Then there is reward. Matthew 10:38 says, if you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you will not be worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Oh, what a promise. What a promise. And then as we read through the passage again, we get to the next one in 59. And he said to me, follow me. But the Lord, he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. So this is the second person. Do you know, Jesus says, I believe it's 19 times in the Gospels, 19 times in the Gospel, Jesus says to people, follow me. Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and so on. Jesus calls us to follow him. It's recorded over and over because it's so important. That is the same call that we have today, 2,000 years later. Follow me. Don't follow me. Don't follow Joseph Smith. Don't follow Russell. Don't follow Marianne Baker. Don't follow Muhammad. Don't follow. Follow Jesus. And you won't go wrong. But here's a fella, been called. But he wanted to go bury his father and mother. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their dead, but go you and preach the kingdom of God. Sounds harsh. But we have to put Jesus first. We get the impression here that Jesus isn't accepting any excuses. How often we have been guilty of saying the same thing. We have made excuses. Then we find another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. You know, it's very interesting. This is my garden in Argentina. You can see how dry it is because it's 50 degrees outside. But this is my garden in my rancho in Argentina. And this is a plow that was given to me. Beautiful plow. And I put it there, but I put on here the verse that we're studying right now. In Spanish, of course. And the question I have, can we plow a straight line by looking back? We don't use this anymore. We have tractors and we have machines and you can just send out the laser beam and you just get your tractor and you follow the laser beam. But in those days, you would get behind, and I'll show you in a minute. I've got a team of horses going to come in a few minutes, and I'll show you what they used to do. It wasn't easy. But Jesus tells this story because he wants people to realize, and he says this verse in Luke 9:62. And this is in my patio in Argentina, Luke 9:62, and it says, but the Lord told him, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. It's not an easy work. I've never done it, but I've seen it in many countries. You hold that, And you look there, see that post there sitting up? And that's my line, and I have to keep going. And the horse is pulling. I know you've got to. No. Come back. You've got to keep a straight line. Now, if I look back, I've missed the mark. I won't make a straight line. But that's what Jesus is saying here. To make that straight line, you've got to keep your eye. Jesus, or anyone who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. There's a three-letter word here that is used quite often, and that's but. But. Notice that this man uses the word but. But I want to. This guy is trying to make a deal with Jesus. I'll follow you, Jesus. Yeah, I'm with you. 100%, Jesus. Vamos, we're with you. But just wait a minute. I got to say goodbye to the family. But I would love to help in the upcoming children's meeting. But I'd love to. But I'm all in, 100%. But I'll follow you. But Jesus tells this guy, you can't look backwards and go forward. That's what he's saying. Try it sometime. Look back and go forward. You're going to just bump into something. You're going to have a disaster. And if you're plowing a field and you've got your eye on that branch or on that tree trunk, or you've got your eye on something that you put on the ground there, and you're looking and you look behind, you won't make a straight line. Paul is actually using in other verses in Philippians chapter 3, he says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, he doesn't look behind, he's forgetting what is lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, Paul, he forgot the things behind him. He didn't look back. No. I mean, how often have we read in the Bible different examples of like the Egyptians, they look back to Egypt because the food they look back. And over we have in the scripture different examples of people looking back. But you know, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. How does this message, how do these verses fit in with you? We have to make the right choices. And sometimes it's hard. But we are a community. We have elders. We have deacons. We have Sunday school teachers. We have people working in the home for the aged. We have people now going to be working for the children meeting. Go to them and talk to them. Say, I would like to help. I'd like to encourage. I'd like to do something. But I would encourage you first. First thing first is choose God first. May the Lord bless the message of Luke chapter 9. And may it be an encouragement. And it's, I tell you right in front of you all, it's much easier to preach than to practice. I've tried. I've goofed. I've made mistakes. But I've had some of you, I won't name you, two of you, that have said things to me that have helped me. Maybe just, I'm just a little bit to the left, or maybe I'm a little bit to the right. You know, but I want to keep on, going straight, not looking behind. And we've got to encourage one another with love, with care. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for Luke chapter 9. We thank you for Parkcrest, and we thank you, Heavenly Father, for them going through the gospel according to St. Luke. And we just look forward to the upcoming chapter 10, 11, and 12. And we're just looking forward, Heavenly Father, to find out what you have for us. And we just think of these five different stories in chapter 9, and we think of the last one that we spent a little time on. Help us, Heavenly Father, to keep on keeping on for you. Help us not to look back. Help us to strive, to press forward, to go forward. Forgive those things in the past. Forgive those people in the past. Forgive those situations in the past. Forgive them and try to forget them. Not easy, Heavenly Father, but we ask that you might help us. And thank you again for this time together. Bless your message, and we'll give you all the praise and glory in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.